a windowless bathroom. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Theme.
You really did sound like you were in the bathroom.
In a windowless bathroom. Yeah, that's my new Effectron 8000, I think it's called. I don't know what it's called. It's a thing. Have you done a show since I had the thing?
No, I haven't.
The thing's kind of fun.
I'm excited to have the thing involved.
Yeah, I would do more. I'm not going to do Morning Zoo Crew and say, hey, baby, did you like my thing?
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, especially since your boyfriend's a good friend of mine and he's sitting there next to you listening to this.
I don't think he would care.
I don't think he'd care either. He's cool, man. Yeah. I like
he would laugh.
Your man. Your man is a fun cat, man. I dig him. I dig him. Yeah. Christian's cool.
He is very cool.
Didn't you meet him on this show?
That's the conventional wisdom.
That's what we did a radio play and made people believe that was actually true, but it's not.
Yeah. Sorry, people.
And for those audio aficionados in the audience, and I know there are some of them, Diana and I are connecting via Blink tonight from the website icanblink.com. And it's it sounds better than Skype, and we could both talk over each other, which you can't do with Skype.
Yeah, I know. It's like you can't really,
you can't really, That would have been just static on Skype. Yeah, and I know you're not supposed to, like, point out things that are wrong with your audio and radio, but I'm going to point this out because we are a teaching hospital. You may occasionally hear, if I say something and then we don't talk, there, you hear a tiny bit of echo back. It's leakage from Diana's headphones, even though they're good, strong headphones, because it's...
I thought I had them tighter.
Yeah, Skype has noise reduction that really kind of squishes the quality of the sound and the audio, and if you're using good mics, it's better to not have any noise reduction. And Blink has little or no noise reduction. And so what you hear is what you get. And that may include echoes.
Yes, you may hear my rabbit bouncing around in her cage and stuff.
I thought that was the hamster in your brain.
Could be that too. Who knows?
So you're coming out of the closet, or you have been for some time now. Tell our audience about that.
I have. And I think that... And by coming out of the closet, what I'm talking about is coming out as a libertarian, anarchist, voluntarist, whatever you want to call it.
No government woman.
I would basically,
woman.
At this point, a no government, government woman.
Yes.
Essentially straight up anarchist, but we'll go
but
with
not,
voluntarist.
Not the commie kind. And not the
not
violent
the commie kind.
Not the violent kind or the commie kind. You're the the peace-loving kind that wants the market to solve everything, and you want to be able to keep your own stuff.
Exactly. And trying to explain that to people, you know, I feel for the most part that at least my close friends, you know, my friends up to this point who knew me prior to my...
coming out.
My conversion. I think they just think it's another crazy idea that Diana has come up with kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, Diana, she's always just coming up with some kind of crazy stuff that she gets involved with for a little while. And then, you know, but...
do your parents think this reminds me of when she was really into David Cassidy from the Partridge Family. It'll pass.
But that's coming from my friends.
Were you into David Cassidy from the Partridge Family?
David Cassidy. I think I really dug him.
I really dug him too. No homo. When I was a kid, my mother would get, when she'd buy clothes for me and I didn't want to wear them, she'd lie and say, I saw David Cassidy wearing this shirt, and I'd wear it. I don't think that's good parenting.
Yeah. Why not?
Because it's lying. Because it's lying, so she can dress me up like a little doll. Like her little doll, her vision of fashion.
So do you think that encouraging your children to believe in Santa Claus is bad parenting?
Yeah.
It's lying.
Well, I think that it's okay to teach the kids that it's a myth that people believe, you know. I mean, the kids are going to ask.
Right. Yeah, my daughter, I don't think... that I said, hey, have you ever heard of Santa Claus? Like, I don't think it was anything like that. I think she just sort of discovered it on her own.
Well, it's everywhere.
I didn't discourage it. you know, to me, it was just kind of a fun part of childhood. And she figured it out pretty quickly, though. I think she figured it out when she was probably seven or so. But she sort of just kept playing the game because that meant more presents for her.
My parents let me believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny till I was like six or seven. And then as soon as I asked, is that real? They told me the truth because I think it's because I'd had old, you know, I already had like siblings in high school, and I think they'd already gone through it and just realized it's easier to just tell them the truth really early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, as far as telling the truth, I had a situation recently with my father, and basically what it boiled down to was I offered him your DVD, Guns and Weed.
You offered that to him?
Yes, I offered that to him because I wanted him to understand, you know, this part of my life. You
can,
know,
can I interject? To, can I interject that?
Sure.
I sent that DVD to my 96-year-old square. You know, not square. Just see, you know, like has never done a drug.
He's
in
96.
His life.
I mean,
yeah, he's 96.
Yeah.
He grew up in the Great Depression. Not square in a bad way. Just like not really his thing. But he's a gun guy, and I send him everything I do. Used to send my whole family. Now just send my dad everything I do, pretty much. And he's been on this show. He's been a guest for a whole show on the Freedom Fiends in person in my bedroom when he, you know, flew out here to visit me for the first time in 20 years. And I sent him the Guns and Weed DVD, and he wrote me back and said, I can't get it to play. And I asked him the name of, like, what did you put it in? He was putting it in a CD player, man.
It won't play.
Yeah. Okay, so
dadgummit.
You offered it to your dad, and he said, "Dadgummit."
It was shut down pretty quickly, and mainly because it was a very bad time to offer it to him, considering the experience he had just had.
Which was what?
And,
oh, he saw some. And, explain that. Yeah.
Yeah, he lives in Texas, and so he was in the local HEB, which is kind of the Texas kind of big grocery store chain in Texas. And there happened to be a young man walking around the grocery store with a assault rifle slung over his shoulder.
You mean a, not really an assault rifle, but yeah, a rifle.
Something,
an
that's
AR.
What my dad called it. Yeah, so my dad
it probably wasn't,
it.
Was and, not burst fire. It's probably not a true assault rifle, but yeah, go on.
Yeah. So, and my dad is not a gun person, at all. And that right there was, that just made him so upset. And he didn't, you know, one of the things that you and I talked about a little bit is that, you know, bother talking to the guy. No, he didn't at all. You know, he just went and told the manager.
He told
you know,
them,
hey, there's a guy.
I'm going to tell on you.
I know.
You're obeying the law. I'm going to tell on you.
And what's funny is that my dad is the kind of person that will basically go up to anybody and talk to them. Like he's not shy. He's very friendly. He's very people oriented. He's very interested in people. I mean, he'll talk to anyone, but he would not talk to that guy. And I don't know why, you know, it's like, I guess he was scared or, you know, didn't know why that guy was there or was just so, you know, appalled by the fact that he was in there, you know, with a gun like that. I don't know. I really don't know. But the fact that right after this happened and I offer to send him your DVD, you know, just to kind of give him an idea of what I believe now, it made him very upset. He was very, very upset.
Not at the weed side of it, right?
No, not the weed side of it. I mean, he thinks that that's cool. You know, he thinks that laws
cool.
against weed are stupid. Yeah, I think... He thinks laws against weed are stupid.
But
now,
I'll bet he thinks. But I'll bet he thinks meth should be illegal.
I think he does probably think that. Yeah, I think that weed is okay with him, but harder drugs are not. And a lot of it has to do with the line of work that he's in.
What and weed salesman?
He's no. He's actually an attorney, and he works with CPS. Child Protective Services. Well, he doesn't work with them to take the kids away. He works with them to try to get the kids returned to their parents. And
meth is not something that is conducive to raising small children well.
No, not at all. So he, you know, he's definitely, you know, he hates drugs like that and you know, thinks that people shouldn't do them. And I asked him, well, do you think that they should be put in a cage for using them? And he never really answered that question. you know. You know, he definitely doesn't think that people should be put in a cage for you know, using marijuana or whatever. But I mean, I think he definitely is very indoctrinated, has been his whole life. You know, when I started trying to talk to him about it, he said, I'm 75 years old. I'm not going to change. And I said, well, I'm not trying to change you. I just want you to be open to listening to another point of view. And he's like, well, I'm just not. I don't want to listen to that point of view. You know, he straight up said that.
Whereas my dad is like, you know, the thought of pot appalls him, and he likes guns to the point where when that whole thing was happening at the Bundy Ranch, my dad like called me up early in the morning, woke me up, like, and he got all the facts wrong. He was like, did you see what the militias are doing out in Wyoming? It's great. They're going to win against the federal government. And I was like, okay, it was Dad, I'm waking up. It was Nevada. They may win, but in the long run, the government is not going to, it's not American Revolution II. I'll talk to you later. Okay.
But he was all excited about it.
Yeah. And you know, I was right. It wasn't American Revolution II, and
no,
they won the battle, but they aren't going to win that particular war. That those people, that ranch is probably going to get dragged into federal court and, you know, raped legally in a gun-free zone, you know, backed by guns for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of the other questions we got to talking about police and having guns. And I said, well, if you don't think it's okay for a person to walk around, because he's kind of used to seeing people open carry in Texas.
Open carry of pistols is illegal in Texas, which is why people are open carrying rifles. He has not seen people open carry pistols there.
Oh,
unless he's on someone's ranch.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're probably sheriffs with like old timey revolvers, big cowboy hats. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Here we are. It's Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Yeah. We're going to try something here. We put a little compression on Diana. We're squishing her down a little bit. It's not going to keep her down.
Getting all like out of control.
You were. We can't keep you down, but we're going to try this. So you're talking about your dad and him encountering some of those crazed cowboys with rifles out in the open in Texas.
Yeah. And you know, and the thing is that, yeah, I mean, he may not have seen people open carry. I mean, that's just what he said. And my dad
He's thinking about the movies, man. He's confusing it with Westerns.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, or something. I don't know. But he tends to embellish a little bit quite frequently. And I'm still kind of like gullible about that. Like, he'll say something to me in front of one of our, you know, like one of his siblings or something, and I'll totally believe it. And they look at me like, are you serious? You really believe that?
Give me an example.
Oh, God, I can't think of one right now.
Okay, go on with your story about your dad.
Yeah, I don't know. He holophobia. Exaggerates in
holophobia.
General.
Holophobia.
Yeah.
That's a,
holophobia, yeah. Yeah. He hates guns, hates them. I asked him, did he think it was okay, though, for police to carry guns? And his answer to that, well, that's their job. And I was like, well, okay, but is it their job to, you know, shoot unarmed people or dogs or, you know, I mean, use those guns to aggress against people that haven't done anything wrong? I mean, is that okay? And he's like, of course not. That's an inane argument, blah, blah, blah. You know,
that's it. Like, that's an inane response, you know,
what
saying,
is?
Yeah, yeah. Saying, oh, you can't tell them, you know, you're basically saying, yeah, but they shoot people they're not supposed to and get away with it. And he's like, oh, that's silly. You know?
Right. Yeah. I think that that was a shock to his system. I think that he knew the direction I'm going ideologically. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm trying to say. But I don't think he knew to the degree of how serious I am about it. And bottom line is that it would probably rather shocking to me to see someone walking around my local grocery store with a big rifle slung over their shoulder. Because you're just not used to seeing that all the time. And I know you've done it, you know, and I think that to do it for, you know, to make a statement is one thing, but to walk around a grocery store with it, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to deny you your right to do that, certainly. But it's like, is it necessary
well,
to do that?
Here's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I would open carry a pistol once in a while. And I know that there's no real difference. It's kind of like the difference between pot and meth or something. You know, if you believe in one, you should believe in the other. I have no moral problem with someone open carrying a rifle, but I don't even open carry pistols, and it's completely legal in my state. And it's legal in a lot of states, but a lot of states, you will, even though it's legal, you'll get prone to the ground by cops for doing it. That doesn't happen in Wyoming. It's so like, it's pretty common here to the point where like you can pretty much do it and people don't even notice it generally, you know, unless you're like playing with your gun or something, which you should not be doing. But the thing is, I think that it's a tactical, I wouldn't say mistake, but I think it's tactically, it takes a lot more situational awareness, which makes it harder to enjoy your day. Because first of all, if you have a gun, like little kids, especially in a place where guns aren't forbidden, like Wyoming, where little kids have probably actually shot a gun, are going to be like, oh, and come up and try to touch it, you know? So you're shopping, mm-hmm. you have to be aware of all around you, even more than usual. It's kind of exhausting. And the other thing is like, mm-hmm. if someone actually comes into the bank or the grocery store to rob it while you're carrying a gun, if that person, a lot of people who rob stores, like, don't intend on doing anything. They just want to scare somebody and get some money because they need money quick and they're, you know, drug addicts or sick or something. But there are people that like rob stores and are willing to kill to do it. And that kind mm-hmm. of people, if they go into a store and they're intent on robbing it, yeah, they may see the guy with the gun and leave and go rob some other store, but they also might just shoot that guy in the back of the head and continue robbing the store. I mean, that guy is the same threat that like an armed guard is in a bank robbery. That's the guy tactically that they're going to want to take out first.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's basically putting himself. Yeah. He's putting himself really in more jeopardy than anyone else in the store. So.
Yep.
That was a short segment.
The second one is always a short segment. You know that.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just always kind of surprising.
It's been a while since you've been on. It's good having you back.
I know. Man. It really has been a while, and I really am glad to be back.
Oh, this my fiends. Fun. My fiends are wonderful.
My fiends.
My fiends.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep or sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
live and worldwide from a windowless bathroom. This is Mr. Michael Dean, and this is my show, Freedom Fiends.
I love that.
I hope you like it. If you don't, I don't really care. I don't make it for the masses. I make it for the cool weirdos who are up late at night. Who's up late at night? Let's see. Insomniacs, drug addicts, swing shift workers, the homeless. Yeah.
People in other countries.
People in other countries who are at their day job that's 9 to 5. Good point. Good point. the unemployed, the underemployed, the worried. If you are
the worried, yeah.
Brothers and sisters, if you are listening and you have fear in your heart tonight, we may have a solution. Put your hands on the radio and feel the healing power of the fiends. I think we need that in a North Carolina accent. Say all that with a lot of verve in your North Carolina accent.
With a lot of verve, okay. Okay, y'all. Now, if y'all are feeling a little worried tonight and you've got a hamster running around in your brain, we have a solution for you. Just put your hands on your computer or your telephone, and the spirit of the fiends is going to come rushing right through, and it's going to heal you.
Yep. So we were talking before the break about Diana.
Are we changing that already? I was really getting into that.
Well, we set it up. We have to knock it down now. We talked about the solution. Your dad has a problem. He's afraid of guns, but that's not really his problem as far as you're concerned. That's not the problem. What's the problem? What's the real problem between you and your daddy, young lady?
Oh, jeez.
Lie back on the couch and tell Dr. Dean, M.D., Michael Dean, M.D. I'm not an M.D. I just play one on the radio.
I guess it's just one of those situations where I feel like I've always sort of been the odd duck.
The odd duck. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you know, I said earlier, the black sheep. You know, I have three sisters, and I'm at least on paper, I'm the least successful of the four of us. And you know, I've never really aspired to, I guess, you know, have the kind of lives that they have. But on the surface, you know, what I showed the world, or what I showed at least my dad and other people, was that, oh yes, I can be a productive member of society, and I still feel like I can be, but in a different way, not in the way that I feel is expected of me. And I'm tired of living up to other people's expectations. But, you know, the problem with that is that when you suddenly stop living up to other people's expectations, they have a problem with that. They're not terribly happy with you anymore, because suddenly you're like, don't really care what they think, and you do your own thing. But my problem is I still care what my dad thinks.
Well, lay your hands on your radio, Diana, and I will tell you what I have discovered. I have a saying I made up. I made this up. Expectations are appointments with resentments.
Did you make that up, really?
I did, yeah. It's not my best, but it's solid, and it's going to be the topic of what we're talking
about. It's good, I agree,
about.
Yeah. And I just thought I'd heard it someplace else before.
Yeah, in my book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, which you've read, or is part of. So, and then I'll also quote the great sage Toki Wartooth. No, Squizgar Squizelf from the band Death Clock, who said, families is the peoples that you hates. meaning, I don't mean you have to hate your family or your family hates you. I mean, like, families are really complicated, and I've kind of, for the most part, bowed out of mine. I don't have any no contacts on family members. There's nobody that I'm like, I'm never speaking to you again. But I probably talk to my dad every 2 or 3 weeks on the phone for about 20 minutes. And I talk to my siblings by email or phone like 4 times a year or something. I would never discuss politics with them, because they know I believe I'm absolutely right, and they believe I'm absolutely wrong. They are except for my dad, who's an inveterate Constitution, back to the Republic kind of gun guy. My three siblings are all inveterate Obama lickers, and really believe you need the state to protect everybody from themselves and from each other and from the corporations constantly. So they don't even talk to me about that stuff. They don't even dare. And the thing is, occasionally they try to, and they're all smart people, and they kind of give up because I'm so passionate. They give up really quickly. not give up, like concede that I'm right, but give up trying to talk to me, because they also, none of them are very up on current events, you know? So, right. I mean, if, you know, like if my sister started talking to me about the need for the police state, I'd be like, oh, I saw that in your state, Virginia, you know, they're, the state is forcing a minor to take off his pants and take Viagra so they can photograph him in that state to compare him to other pictures. And they'd be like, what? And I'd be like, yeah, man, I follow your state's news better than you do. And I live on the other side of the country. So they don't bother at all, because I'd win.
Yeah, my dad actually got me on something, and I don't remember what it was, but it was some news out of North Carolina that I had missed, which is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm kind of a news junkie, but I'm also a news junkie that doesn't like to talk about current events. But I like to know what's going on, and I will keep them in my holster in case I need to draw them in an argument. But yeah, for the most part, yeah, I mean, I like this conversation a lot better than most of what I hear on libertarian talk show, radio, and podcast, which is usually, look what Obama did to you today. You know, like when we were at Porkfest, basically in LibPair, in Libertarian Paradise for a week, you and I and a bunch of, you know, about 2,000 other people, somebody started talking to me like, oh, you're from the Freedom Fiends. What do you think about that new law that Obama is trying to get forced through with an executive order? And I'm like, really? I did not come to LibPair to talk about Barack Obama, and walked away. I'm just like, I don't want to talk about that here. It's not going to help. It's going to kill my buzz, my sober buzz, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is. It's very depressing.
Why do you care what your dad thinks? I get, you know what it is?
I don't know.
They were talking about parenting today on Free Talk Live, and I kind of turned it off. It's like, it's an interesting subject, and it's important, and I think that a lot of the way people have historically done parenting doesn't work. It's coming out, you know, basically like a combination of, you know, hitting them, screaming at them, punishing them, taking things away from them, and also like giving them everything they want. I think that like, and I'm not someone who thinks that like giving your kids things is inherently bad, but I think what's wrong with today's youth, I think what's wrong with the last like 100 years or last, you know, 50 years or 40 years is that most kids have been told they can be anything they want to be. And that's a lie. And then like the last 10 or 20 years, like public school has turned into like just filling people full of self-esteem without any skills or knowledge or logic or anything to back it up, to where like every kid, you know, going through public school is being told like, you could be president of the United States, you know, and you can be an astronaut, you can be a CEO. And a lot of them can't even read. And if they can read, they can only read enough to like figure out to vote for the politician that's going to steal the most money and give it to them. You know, they just don't know what's going on, these kids today. And a lot of it comes down to like, I wouldn't even say bad parenting. I would say like bad state parenting, you know, because the state basically, you know, parents don't want to be very invested in their kids. They dump them off at school. They let the state raise them, and then they get upset if the kids are upset. So that forces the school to, you know, if they don't want people withdrawing their kids from public school, they want the kids to come home happy and up and hopeful. And even if it's false hope or false, you know, unearned optimism, I guess it is.
Right. Yeah. As long as everything appears to be all well, then it must be.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I don't know. I don't have a kid. I had one kid. She died of cancer. I'm never going to have another kid. I had a vasectomy many years ago. My wife is 55, I'm 50, and I don't really like kids, so there's beyond zero chance I'm gonna have a kid. So parenting doesn't directly affect me. You know, I'm kind of like, not my monkeys, not my circus, but I guess it does affect me, because, you know, those are the kids that are going to wake up and, you know, in 18 years, those babies are going to be like voting to tax me at 110% and take my guns by force. So I probably should care. But and, you know, there's the whole peaceful parenting movement with Stefan Molyneux and things like that. And basically, like, Nima Vedati quit the coolest radio show in the world to go peacefully parent a libertarian child. That was his solution. And hats off to him. It's all good. I talked to him on the phone today. He's doing great. He's happy. His wife's happy. His kid's happy. But it, you know, the last dealing I had with kids was telling some like 6 year olds from the neighborhood, please get off my property this morning twice, you know? So,
oh my God.
You know, I care about, I wish those parents parented a little better, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like I really lucked out with my daughter. I didn't really want to be a parent either. Or at the time that I got pregnant with her, I wasn't thinking about being a parent or how I would parent or anything like that. And then struck pregnant. And
you were struck pregnant, did you say?
I was struck pregnant, yeah.
And, are you a virgin birth?
Well, no, not exactly. But, you know, I was just like suddenly found myself pregnant and decided to keep her, and then I had to start thinking about it, and you know, when I look back, that there wasn't a lot more that I could do with my life during that time, but be as good a parent as I could be, and to raise her to be as good of an adult as she could be.
Yeah.
And so I felt like that was my job, you know, for a long time. And I felt like that if I could do that, I could contribute this one really important thing to the world, that it was a good thing. And
what does she think of your politics in particular?
We've talked about it some. You know, I don't know that she necessarily agrees with it. I think that she probably, she doesn't really think that much about politics because she's pretty religious.
But she doesn't condemn you like your dad does for it.
No, she doesn't condemn
me.
No.
I would care. I don't really care what anyone thinks except my wife, but I think if I had, or when I had kids, put it this way, I cared a lot more what my daughter thought of me than what my parents thought of me when I was an adult. I really feel like when you grow up and leave your home and make your own life, you know, you can still have contact with, you know, you still have a relationship with your parents, but it shouldn't become paramount. You know, you're leaving to make your own way, and you shouldn't care that much about what your parents think. I really believe that.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of unhealthy.
Besides, they're square, man. They're square. They're not standing on the shoulders of giants like you.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiend broadcasting from a windowless bathroom somewhere in Beast Lick, Wyoming. And I was talking with Diana a whole bunch in the break. It was all golden. You missed it all, but we'll try to redo some of it. First of all, we were talking about nihilism, the belief that there's no absolute morality. And my friend Nick, the 15-year-old who does a podcast that he's kind of influenced by the fiends. He's a nihilist. And I'm like, boy, that sounds negative and horrible. And like, you don't believe in anything and you hate everything. He's like, no, in case he's a really positive kid. And I'm like, what does it mean? He said, well, it just means that you don't have any absolute belief that any morality is positive or negative. It can't be proven. And I was like, whoa, that's deep. And I don't really believe
for a 15-year-old.
Yeah, I don't really believe that. I believe that there is absolute morality and I am the one to decide it. And then I told you that I didn't really care much about the human race. I basically said, I don't want to see anything suffer. I hate to see things suffer. And and I don't like to
and
see.
And I said, except for moths.
Well, because I squished a moth while I was talking to you and told you about it. And you thought that was ironic. And you don't get that I stole that joke. I actually did squish a moth. I did it because it's in the house. If I didn't kill it, I'd have to capture it. I'm doing a radio show, and it will run around all night. My cats will discover it 4 hours after I go to sleep and spend the night breaking things trying to catch it in the dark. So I killed it. And but you don't get that I stole that joke, do you? Like talking about the sanctity of life and then I killed a bug. You haven't seen that recently? It doesn't sound familiar?
No.
Bill Buport did that when he was on the – you and he were arguing against abortion on the abortion debate at Porkfest. He squished a bug on stage, and it was a big joke.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There were a bunch of ants crawling around.
Yeah, and I borrowed his joke subconsciously and then realized it after I did it. But, you know, as Dobby Barker said, physical humor doesn't work on radio. So
yeah. But what you said was really funny to me is that you said they're – more than dust to me, flying dust.
You said, I said, they're not alive. They're dust. They're flying dust.
Which, that cracked me up so much.
Yeah, they kind of are. I mean, they're dusty.
They're dusty. Yeah.
Yeah. But I like all God's creatures. Is. You know, I like, I don't even know if I believe in, I believe in God. I'm a deist. I believe that there's a God that, created things and then like went away.
Like, doesn't, yeah. See
doesn't,
ya.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
Have fun with that. Yeah. Sitting up in a cloud, kind of rubbing his hands, going, interesting. Yeah. So talk about disappointing. Your fear that you're going to disappoint people, friends, not just family, but friends, by becoming a crazy libertarian who thinks that government should be so small you can just squish it like a moth.
Yeah, because, you know, I the ideology is somewhat radical. It's definitely,
it's the radical idea that you should be able to keep your money and that, you shouldn't be forced at threat of gunpoint to participate in things you don't want to. That is so radical.
Right. I know. And when you put it like that, it doesn't sound radical at all.
But that sounds radical. And when you explain that to them, they're like, what? You're crazy. Guns to your head? I've never had a gun to my head.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see
the
that.
Gun in the
they
room.
Don't see that. Taxate, you know, every law is a pile of papers with a secret gun underneath it that's pointed at your head if you don't obey the law. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. Thinking about the, I talked about slavery, talked about tax slavery, and my dad just did not, he's not feeling that at all. And when I talk about that with my friends, it always comes back to the whole, you know, what about the roads? You know, what about law enforcement? What about schools? You know, all this other talk. And it's like, okay, so in the past, a lot of these things were private. You know, they were privately developed. Roads were
developed. We got that. That's what we talk about 24/7 on this show. When we come back, we're going to talk about the personal effects of losing friends and family over the newfound belief that coercion, theft, fraud, and aggression of governments is not a good thing to be celebrated.
Okay.
Okay. Worms.
Okay. Worms. Now.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially
do not want you to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is my dream, broadcasting from a windowless bus station somewhere in Coquille, Oregon, I believe is the name of this town. Pretty soon you'll be broadcasting from a windowless, from a windowed mobile home. Are you really thinking of giving up the terrestrial and going permanently with your boyfriend around the country solving mysteries in a van like the Bad Quaker Company?
Going mobile.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, thinking about it, definitely.
Your family will really think you've joined a cult when you do that, man.
Yeah, I'm just... I think that, I've had a lot of changes over the last couple of years, and it wouldn't surprise me if they mostly think it's all a result of a midlife crisis.
Well, there's worse things you can do with a midlife crisis.
That's true.
Most of my friends, when they hit a midlife crisis and they're married, like most of my male friends, when we're married and hit a midlife crisis, you know, we do not have an affair. We do not buy a Maserati. We start a libertarian podcast. I know like 12 of my friends like that.
That are around that age.
Yeah. You know, between 40 yeah. and 55 who just discovered liberty and said, well, I need to tell the world about this.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I think a lot of it was not so much hitting midlife. I mean, I think that there's a lot of things that happen at midlife. Generally speaking, your kids are grown and out of the house. And,
cats in the cradle.
For me, I think that... Yeah. Cats in the cradle. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think that for me, that was a big catalyst for me to change and start to do what I really want to do. And now I'm doing what I really want to do, doing the things that I want to do that make me happy. And suddenly everyone's freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just family, right? It's friends too.
Yeah. My friends are not really, I mean, I don't talk that much about this with my friends because, and I'm talking about my friends that I've had now for about 5 years, that I met here in the area. And, it's just like a bunch of, girlfriends. There's like five of us that hang out together fairly frequently. And, we don't really talk about this kind of stuff very often. I don't know what we talk about, but I probably like we gossip and, do that all that kind of stuff, which I sort of enjoy doing too. I like talking about, clothes and makeup and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's part of me too. I like that too. So, that's a good place for me to get that part of me out. But, one of my closer friends in the group, I have talked to her about my beliefs and she's kind of on board with it. She likes the libertarian ideas, but I think she's definitely more of a minarchist at this point.
Everybody she thinks
that there should be something, and
well, that's
she does
just
think
based
that,
on fear, and that's just parroting things you've heard your whole life. And most of the people who parrot, well, you can't get rid of, you gotta have some guy. It's a combination. Mm-hmm. Like if they're liberal, it's because they believe that people are basically evil, and without the benevolent hand of the government, the evil people and the evil corporations would destroy everything. And if they're conservative, they generally have a emotional attachment to the Constitution, to the flag, to the Founding Fathers, to the hymns, to the state, to the things they grew up that made them feel warm and fuzzy as a kid, and they've never really examined them. Like most people that say they love the Constitution have never really read it. And they may have read the Bill of Rights, which is not the whole Constitution. It's the only good parts of it. The rest of it basically sets up a federal tyranny. You know, when people say, we got to get back to the Constitution. No, this is the Constitution. You know, because the Constitution basically says the lawmakers can break the Constitution anytime they want and they can do whatever they want. And the only checks and balances are other lawmakers. So, most people, you know, have a like religious, and I'm not denigrating religion, but I'm just saying like a religious connection to their beliefs about the state, whether they're left wing or right wing. And by religious, I mean that faith is that which cannot be proven. You know, the logic of the Bible is, or of any, you know, holy book, as people say, you know, you say to someone, why do you believe in the Bible? And they said, well, it's the word of God. And you say, how do you know it's the word of God? And they're like, because it's in the Bible.
Because it's in the Bible.
And it's, you know, it's this cyclical. Nick Hazelton was talking about this the other day on the Life, Liberty, and Property podcast, which I really dig, both those guys. But yeah, there's and if you press those people on why do you believe there needs to be a state, or why do you believe our state is the perfect state, you know, and they usually have some kind of like, it was ordained by God if they're Republican.
Right.
And if, you know, if they're left wing, it's usually, well, because democracy is the greatest form of government. Why? Because I was taught that in school. Who pays for those schools? The government, you know, so it's the same cyclical logic. But, the thing I found is that if you have people who are curious, and hit them up with hardcore logic, with all the things we hear all day long on all of these shows and say on these shows, on our show all day. If you hit them up with real logic, there's two kinds of people in this world when it comes to statism. There are people who are naturally seeking liberty, who may be indoctrinated to like fight you on it. They'll be like, well, what about the roads? Well, what about defense? And if you just keep hitting them with logical answers, the people who are naturally, you know, seeking freedom in their heart of hearts and were born that way will ask more. They may stay minarchist for a long time, maybe even forever, but they will question the status quo of, whoa, the government says so, it must be good. It's the law, it must be good. And then there's the other kind of people who will defend the state like they're defending their mother, to the point of like, to the point of threatening violence or tacitly threatening violence or wanting to turn you in or saying you're a danger or any of these things that basically come down to pointing a gun at your head or, you know, trying to destroy you because they hold the state that dear. I mean, I almost believe that there are those two kinds of people. Now, that almost sounds like eugenics, which is evil, or it sounds like I'm saying that statists are subhuman, which is evil. And but it really kind of feels that way to me, that there are those who, you know, they say in the AA book, I was in AA, I'm in AA, I'm sober for 20 years. I've been in AA for a long time. I haven't gone to meetings in a long time, but I've read the book. I've practiced the steps. I still practice the steps. And there's a thing in AA that says something, I'm paraphrasing, but it's something along the lines of, you know, our program isn't for everybody. There are those who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are there are such unfortunates. However, this simple program can work for a vast majority of people who are willing to be honest with themselves. You could substitute the word statism for the word alcoholism in that page, and it would fit. You know,
that's very true. Yeah, and I agree. I do think that there are two different kinds of people. I mean, there are people who I feel are, I would like to describe them as truth seekers. Like, no matter what they believe, you know, they're willing to listen to another point of view and are willing to think about it. You know, they're not going to just shut it down because it disagrees with their deeply held beliefs of the way things are and the way things should be, you know. And unfortunately, my conversation with my dad, it kind of seems like he's the latter, you know. He doesn't question a lot, you know. I think he questions a lot what he sees on a daily basis, but I don't think he would ever consider that it's anything is like the fault of the state unless there's a Republican in office.
And then it's the fault of who?
And then it's the fault of the state.
So he's a Democrat or Republican? Not that it matters.
He's a Democrat. Okay. He's a Democrat. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have advice. I'm not going to tell you to, like, cut people out of your life because that's a really serious thing. And if someone's not beating you, I wouldn't advise anyone, you know, if someone's beating you, I'd say cut them out of your life, change your name, travel across the country and start a new life. But if you have to. But, you know, if it's just kind of like gentle or soft psychological abuse that may not be so gentle that they don't even recognize as abuse. With friends, I would say cut them out of your life.
I don't experience that with
family.
My friends.
With family, it's a trickier topic, and I would say read my book, A User's Manual for the Human Experience, and think carefully. I'm not going to be Stefan Molyneux. Stefan Molyneux would say cut them out of your life, but I'm going to say, you know, consider it as an option and think of it carefully. Now, the thing is, that whole bunch of paragraphs I just said sounds absolutely cult-like to someone who's not a libertarian. You know, it sounds like, wait, you're telling people if they don't believe your absolute truth is absolutely true, then you should cut them out of your life. It is a cult. That's what they would say. But, you know, I mean, that should be true of another libertarian belief is like the freedom to associate, which is also like, you know, in the Constitution. It's a law in America that you have a freedom of association of who you want to be around and who you don't. It's not honored that much because they'll – you know, government, it's an infinite wisdom will force people to be together that don't want to be and make it, make it illegal to not be around people that you don't want to be around. But, you know, you should be able to leave. We're voluntarious. You know, we believe in that all interactions should be voluntary. And a lot of family interactions kind of aren't. You know, it's not like they're holding a gun to your head, but they're holding a guilt to your head, or they're holding a how could you or whatever. And it's like, I don't know. I've been really lucky with both my families, with my family and my wife's parents. Like my family, they kind of bug me, but it's because they love me and they don't really challenge me on things that they don't. They know they won't win, and they barely talk to me. DJ's family is the same way, but they're not as goofy. They're not goofy at all. They don't bug us with their, you know, they're kind of, her dad's kind of far more libertarian than my family. He's a small government guy who believes the government should only take care of, you know, the roads, interstate. What is it? What is that thing that a lot of people say? It's national defense, interstate highways, and international treaties, which is, you know, that's minarchist, and I don't even want that much. But boy, what a sweet world that would be if that's all the government did, you know?
Right. But that, unfortunately, that's not all the government will do.
Yeah, whereas my dad is, he's not consistent. Like he says, we absolutely need to get back to the Constitution. These damn Democrats are wrecking everything. And, you know, the government shouldn't have its finger in all these pies. And then, like, he'll write a letter to the newspaper, local newspaper, and get it published. That's like basically, okay, there's a thing where they want to, like, the state used to fund the local hospital and now they're not. And he's like, every politician that voted against this funding should be held guilty of murder if anyone dies in that hospital.
Which is
not consistent of small government thought.
No. So
we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends of us telling you how to run your life. And you can take it or leave it because we're voluntarists.
And it's the right way.
It's the right way because we know.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from a windowless something. Are you there, Diana? Are you there?
I am good here. I was laughing at my cat looking at me.
You're easily so amused. You're easily amused. When I meow, cats like don't get it as meowing. They just look at me. They don't even look at me. Because I meow all the time. They just think that's part of how people talk to each other, I think. So before we get back to... Go ahead. Cat stuff. Go ahead.
What about cat stuff? Oh, I was just going to say that I had a song that I made up a long time ago that I wanted to sing for you when I saw you at a Pork Fest. Yeah. I never got a chance to.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to do it now.
What are the words?
I guess I have to now.
Yeah, you do.
I made it up when I first got my cat.
I libertarian command you to sing it to me.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Meow, kitty, kitty, meow, meow. Meow, kitty, kitty, meow, meow. Kitty, kitty, meow, meow. Kitty, kitty, meow, meow. But there's a little dance that goes along with it.
So
it's like the dance is like, it kind of goes along with the song.
It's beautiful, and I'm honored.
Meow, kitty, kitty, meow, meow.
Have you ever, there's a similar song. It's not like the same melody or anything, but have you ever heard the song called Kitty by the band called, this is a great band name, The Presidents of the United States?
Wait, I've heard of the band. Yeah, I don't know if I've heard of Kitty.
They were kind of a grunge song, and that was kind of their hit, like on MTV. It's pretty funny. I would play it, but it'd be kind of loud, so I don't want to wake my wife up. So,
are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, of course I am. I'm looking up, see if it's really named Kitty. It's something about kitties, and it's got kitty sounds in it and meowing in it. But
Kitty, kitty, meow, meow. Kitty, kitty, meow, meow.
Oh, when you search the presidents of the United States, oh, it's of America. It's listing the presidents of the United States. I don't care about that.
Ugh, who cares about that?
Yeah, I think the band's called The Presidents of the United States of America. Oh man, where is it? Yeah, just okay, the band. So I wanted to give a shout out here to there's a libertarian writer named Claire Wolf, who's an OG libertarian, which means original gangsta in rap music. And it means like she was doing it when we were in short pants on our tricycles, literally. she was writing books about liberty and about, like, you know, questions of whether you should use force or not, and didn't absolutely say yes or no, you know, in retaliation kind of stuff. I mean, she's one of these, like, rifle, you know, she's like the rifle granny from back in the day, and she is solid. She is amazing writer, amazing philosopher, really funny. She writes books. You should check them out, Diana. You would dig her books.
Okay. And Claire Wolf.
Yeah, read some of her fiction. It's really funny, especially the latest one. I'll look up the name of it, but she wrote this other book. It's a how-to book called Rats, and it's about it's called Rats: Your Guide to Protecting Yourself Against Snitches, Informers, Informants, Agents Provocateurs, Narcs, Finks, and Similar Vermin. And it is book about, you know, if you're in some kind of organization that's peaceful and the government is targeting it anyway, they're going to send someone in who's going to try to, you know, yell for violence or try to set you up to something to get you busted or just try to denigrate the whole organization. This is a 60-page, pretty short book, 60-page, 55-page PDF, and it's free. I mean, she makes a living at writing, and she felt so important about this that this is so important she gives it away. And the website for this book is rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com. And I would wholeheartedly say that if you've been listening to Freedom Fiends forever, you could just read this book and stop right now, because it's more important that you read this book than that you ever listen to the Freedom Fiends, because this book is far more important to your freedom.
Okay, I'll read it.
Yeah. And I think I like this book so much, I think I'm thinking about making a radio ad for free and giving her free ad time on the Fiends on radio for a month or two, because I just think everyone needs to know about this book.
Yeah. She, it looks like, I was looking at her list of publications, and it looks like most of what she's written has been in this century.
In this century? Oh, yeah. I thought you meant she's more than 100. No, she's, no. But yeah, I'll find the name of the book I really, really like by her. Published works. Let's
published
see.
Works. Yeah. We're both looking at Wikipedia.
101 Things to Do to the Revolution. Don't Shoot the Bastards Yet.
I like that.
Yeah. The Bad Attitude Guide to Good Citizenship. Freedom Outlaws Handbook.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Freedom Fiends, Michael Dean. I'm here in my windowless bathroom with my friends Diana and Christian. How are you doing, Christian? Diana?
Woof. I'm doing great.
Yeah?
What'd you say? Woof. Did you say woof?
I said woof. Well, I'm not really a co-host, so I figured I can't say meow. I'm just going to say
said,
woof.
He said that's good. Well, you were saying foot skin. Explain foot skin.
Oh, foot skin.
Ah, foot skin.
That's our new curse. That's our radio. That's our radio-friendly curse.
You know when you're sitting on the couch watching TV, just, you know, playing around
you're
with your foot,
your feet,
and at some point you use a bit of skin that comes out. That is like the government people, and it's a new swear word that's radio friendly. It's like this, foot skin.
I think I'm going to call this episode "Oh Foot Skin." I like it. I'm writing that down on my little notepad.
Oh my gosh!
So Christian. Yeah.
Yes, Michael.
Do you have any tales of woe of family or friends being disappointed in you for loving liberty?
Yes, yeah, sadly. I don't know why it's so hard to convince people, but particularly with my dad. My dad's got this thing where him and I actually got upset at each other some time ago, you know, about, you know, while talking about politics.
Isn't he from Quebec?
And, he is.
Aren't
he
they
is.
All separatists? Aren't they all radical separatists who want liberty?
He used to be, back in the 70s when there was a big, you know, actually violent movement in Quebec for separation. He was, I don't know how involved he was, but he was in the, you know, he was supporting it. And now he's, you know, I don't know, he just turned 70. Maybe that has, you know, something to do with, you know,
okay.
like your
say,
dad.
Say
I'm 70.
Do an imitation for me. In an old French-Canadian man's accent, say, I used to like revolution, then I grew up. Say that for me in French.
Ah, moi j'aimais la révolution, mais là je suis trop vieux.
Now say it like an old Frenchman.
Ah, j'aimais la révolution, mais là je suis beaucoup trop vieux pour ces choses-là.
That was beautiful, man. That was beautiful. All right,
your dad doesn't sound like that, though.
No,
my dad.
Doesn't.
If my dad were French, I am French Canadian, but yeah. And I'm English. I'm English, Irish, and French Canadian. So I'm constantly at war with myself and want freedom.
You are an international man of mystery.
who hasn't left his town in 5 years except to go to Porkfest.
And you don't drink beer.
No. I told somebody if Porkfest offered me a beer, and I said, if I drink that one, I'm going to drink every beer in Porkfest. So, and I'll forget the non-aggression principle in the process of obtaining them. So, I don't want to drink that beer.
I have two stories about alcohol at Porkfest. One of them was with my little Mickey. I was carrying like this little, you know, flask. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, flask.
I call it a Mickey. That's a weird name.
I don't know. I've never heard it called Mickey before.
Oh, well. I had a little flask that I would, you know, pour some alcohol in it and walk around with it. And I forgot it at a table with one of the merchants. And I came back, like 2 hours later, it was still there.
Yeah, Davi was leaving silver out on his table and going to lunch, and it was still there when he got back.
Yep.
Well, except for that giant bottle of Johnny Walker that you were walking around with, and you set it down, and that disappeared.
Well, that's the second story, which is not as positive as the first one. When the moon comes up, at some point the little flask was not enough, so I just, you know, brought the whole 1.75 liter of, you know, whatever that was, Johnny Walker, and that I did set down near like one of the tables there, and 20 minutes later I turned around, I looked, and it was gone.
That was night. That was night, and the other one was day.
That's right.
So I guess the non-aggression principle kind of retires at night after people have had a few.
That's right.
Yeah, those people aren't consistent, man. That's the problem.
Maybe someone saw it as a donation to their cause and
that's possible
just accepted the gift.
And, you know, I'm also thinking of like the several people who were partying a lot who told me something got stolen from them. I'm wondering how many of them actually just got wasted and lost the thing they thought got stolen.
Yeah, I'll tell you though, there were people there that were not actually libertarians.
Yeah, they were local people.
They were just there for the party. This one guy I met, he was from I think he was from Maine, and he was there just for the party. He heard it was a good party, and that's why he came.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, I went one time. I was at a Grateful Dead show in the parking lot. No, it was after Grateful Dead show, and I was talking to these two hippies, long-haired, you know, peace-loving-looking dudes, and I was talking to them. It turned out they were, like, violent Nazi skinheads who grew their hair long because they liked LSD and easy sex and went to Dead shows.
Well, why not? It's a free country.
A Dead show is a free country, or it was. Although, you know, the Grateful, like, the Dead, I got in after, I wasn't really in, I went to 9 shows, but, you know, I heard a lot of Deadheads say over the years, like, oh, Dead shows used to be cool, and now they're too commercial, or there's too many cops, or there's too many creeps, or all of the above, and it's like, that kind of happens with anything that's cool and spontaneous and happens out of something really small, you know, from... It'll probably happen with Porkfest someday. It'll probably happen. You know, it happened with Burning Man. It happened with Occupy Wall Street. It happened with, you know, maybe now it's happening with Liberty. We'll see. But I have faith for Liberty. It's too big for any one person to tank it. It's kind of like, you know, we're not all like, it's not 6 people on a lifeboat anymore that's really fragile. It's like, you know, it's a worldwide, it's a continent. Spread out through the world.
Stephanie Murphy was saying something similar about the Bitcoin community a couple of months ago.
Yeah, Bitcoin,
she said it used to be like all small and everybody knew everybody, but now it's really going mainstream. And she's like, you know, who are all these people who are just in this for money? So yeah.
Well, tell Michael and the audience about your experience with wearing your Bitcoin shirts around town here in Raleigh.
Well, when I'm not spreading the message of liberty, I'm spreading the message of Bitcoin, which are very compatible anyway. So, so I usually wear a shirt or some symbol, shiny badge or something that talks about Bitcoins. And, you know, they do make people talk. You know, I'll be riding my motorcycle downtown. I'm stopped at a red light. Some guy lowers his window and says, "Man, cool shirt, Bitcoin." So it's great.
I used to have a car that made people roll down their windows and talk to me about it and to ask me questions about it in parking lots. And it was a really beat up 1966 Plymouth Barracuda. Do you know what that car looks like?
Nice.
I know what it looks like.
It kind of looks like the Batmobile. It has like huge fins and a big round fishbowl back window kind of thing. And, you know, I got it. I didn't get it because I thought it would get me chicks because I'm not that kind of guy. But the guy who sold it to me said, "Oh, this car will get you chicks." And it got a lot of attention, but it wasn't from chicks. It was all from dudes who were mechanics who wanted to buy it from me cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a muscle car.
It's a grandma muscle car. It was a 266 or 244 engine, something like that.
Yeah.
It could go pretty fast, though. It got about 7 miles to the gallon, though.
Yeah.
That car would survive an EMP or a solo flare.
I think
solo
flare. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
It would.
Yeah.
There's no computers in that car, man.
Right.
When that car was built, computers were bigger than that car, and that's a big car.
That's true. I mean, just watch Mad Men. The computer. you haven't seen all the episodes.
I've seen all the episodes. I remember when they get the computer. The one kid like flips out, like he's the conspiracy theorist. Like the computer is going to eat my brain.
He completely flipped out.
Isn't he like cut his ear off or something? Yeah.
No, he cut something else off.
Yeah. So.
Oh my.
So anyway.
Footskin. He cut some footskin off.
He got some footskin. Yeah. You guys are sharing headphones, huh?
No.
You're using the headphones that leak now because you're using both headphones. So yeah.
Yes. I'm getting the leaky headphones.
Getting a little bit of echo back, but you know it's the price of better audio because there's none of that that sound crunching noise reduction that's built into Skype that you can't, because Skype is made like to work anywhere, you know, even like outdoors during a snowstorm and windstorm, you know, it's made to work under any condition. Whereas this program is basically set up to work from one recording studio to another. So,
well, it's got a very cute little icon.
It does. Put it this way. I mean, I hope this isn't too prurient for radio, but when we were getting ready and sound checking, Diana was like, "What was that noise?" And I said, "I farted." And I didn't fart into the mic. It was like I was sitting in my chair like I do when I talk, and I farted, and she heard it. You would not hear that on Skype, man.
Oh, footskin. Who talks about this kind of stuff on the radio? Jeez.
Yeah, so
I would talk about this all the time if it was prurient.
It is prurient, so we shouldn't talk about it much. But it's not prurient because let's see, what's the word when they say, it's not gratuitous. It serves the purpose because we are talking about the sensitivity of audio transmission over blink.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sensitive, you can hear your co-host fart. That should be like, that should be the tagline at the top of the website. Yeah.
That could be something else you could use.
Yeah. So tell me, Christian, more about, do you have friends who've disowned you for liking Liberty?
No, I think I've converted most of my friends. But I think probably the toughest person to convince about Liberty would be a parent. I think in your parents' eyes, you will always be kind of a little baby, and they're there to show you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I can make some pretty strong arguments with anybody out there. I've converted a lot of people to Liberty, but my parents, I just, you know, can't get a break. You know?
Yeah, I don't know, though. I don't necessarily listen to my family anymore when they try to give me advice, because there was a time where I was the least successful, you know, in the eyes of my family. They kind of were champions of me in telling their friends about it, because I was always doing cool things like getting books published and getting signed to major labels and things like that. So they thought it was pretty cool. But I've been doing what I've been doing for 50 years. You know, I'm 50 now, for like 35 years. And yeah, I'm doing pretty well with a lot of it. And I am, at this point, the only person in my family of six people who's never been divorced and never filed for bankruptcy. So I'm like, they can't tell me how to run my life anymore.
You know, success is in the eye of the beholder.
There you go. And I sleep like a baby because I know I'm right about everything I believe. I don't know about it.
Once I go to sleep, I sleep like a baby too.
Cool.
I just lay there and worry for a while.
Babies wake up many times per night. That's a bad saying.
I know, that kind of is.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Meow, 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 meow.
Woof, 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 woof. Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless Winnebago that gets 30 gallons to the mile, I think it is. That's that's what the Ben Stone Mobile gets, I think. So, Christian, you had a question.
Yeah, I was listening to both of you over the last couple of hours, and I think you both mentioned how at some point in your lives, your parents were not fully happy with your performance in your own lives. And I don't think that's a valid metric. I think that's not the right way to measure life. You know, the liberty lover's life should be measured by the happiness in the heart of the liberty lovers and nobody else's.
Well, my wife that's and I are kind of...
Brother.
My wife, that was loud. My wife and I are kind of a nation of two. Like, we not only don't care what other people think, like, we don't talk to other people. We don't have a lot of other friends in person. Like, literally, you know, people say to me, like, hey, Michael, I'm doing this thing in your town, this political action. Can you get your friends to come? And I'm like, what friends? Like, literally, we don't know anybody in this town. We lived here 5 years and we're fine with it because... My wife got me a birthday card that really summed it up. And it was, you know, it's kind of hard to find a card that like has a sentiment that's true. But this one was great. It was really, really true. It said it was like a boy and a teenage boy and girl or something hanging upside down from a tree, like playing. And it said, I'd rather go nowhere with you than go anywhere with anyone else. And that's kind of how we feel about each other.
Aww,
so
that's
we don't care what our families think, you know.
Well, you know, at Pork Fest, which is the first time, you know, I met you person to person, you had quite the surrounding following you around, Michael. I think you have more friends than you might realize.
I speak the truth. I speak the truth and people listen.
Footskin.
There's actually a picture. There's a picture of me that... that Nikki Darling took of me sitting on the ground cross-legged and four or five men sitting around me in a semicircle and I'm talking and they're all looking at me and Davy Barker's the only one, his face you can see like full on, and he's kind of looking to the side to me and like raising his finger like to make a point back to me, and I posted it and said it was me doing a bad imitation of Socrates because it's really what it looked like, man.
2,000 years from now, when your Freedom Fiends episode are torrented across the galaxy, you know, they'll refer to that image.
The Socrates moment. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like a leader, and I don't feel like, you know, I have a following or anything. I feel like I make friends pretty easy, and I don't know. I guess I was making up. I was allowing, you know, I wasn't brushing people off in person like I do on the internet, because when I'm on the internet, I'm busy, man. But when I'm on vacation, I'm like, yeah, man, bring it on. I'll talk to you. Unless you want to talk about Barack Obama. And then I'm like,
No. You say footskin. Barack Obama? Ah, footskin. Yeah.
Well, I feel like the Fiends is a gang, man. Not like a criminal gang, but I like that picture on the top of the Fiends page now of us. You're doing your like gang signs, making an A for anarchy, or is it an F for Fiends? I can't tell.
I'm doing an A for anarchy. Okay. You're doing an F for Fiends.
Yeah. You look like a cat in that picture. It's kind of funny. Your hair is just like just right, and you have this look on your face, kind of like. I think you were imitating a cat at one point, making scratching with your hand in
like,
the air.
I was being a tiger.
Yeah, yeah.
To the camera. I was trying to, you know, model and stuff.
Yeah, in the
was
picture.
Was that the picture that was taken just outside the Bad Quaker Mobile?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's at the top of the Freedom Fiend site. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's the, like, header on the page now is all 12 of us.
I'll check it out.
10, 11, 12. And if you go to the co-hosts and Showtime's page, it has the same picture, bigger, and has everyone's name under it if you don't know who all the Fiends are. And there's a couple Fiends. There's one guy in this picture that's not a co-host. It's Sean Diwali. He's the torrent master that's keeping us drone-proof. And then there are two co-hosts missing. Randy England is not in the picture, but he's going to be there next year. And Jack Johnson didn't make it, but maybe there next year. So
yeah, he really regretted not coming, didn't he?
Yeah. So yeah. Randy did. So, oh, Randy, I want to say really quickly, Randy got an article published on Lou Rockwell's site today about can Catholics be libertarian? Ooh. It's a good article. So he's a rock star for the moment. You're a Catholic, so you should go read it.
Well, I'm not Catholic anymore, but, well, I guess I still am.
Recovering Catholic?
Something like that.
Yep. Footskin.
Footskin. Say it in French.
Oh, pot-pied.
Yes, because we do broadcast into Canada. We're legally required to have it bilingual.
Mais oui.
Yeah. No. If you say I love you in German, it sounds like a death threat. And if you say I want to kill you in French, it sounds like I love you. Say,
ich
I want
to
say,
liebe dich.
Say, that's
ich
the German.
Dich.
That's the German. Okay.
There we go. Say I want to kill you in French.